Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Denton Day, and Linnell Willingham sitting in for Kevin. Kevin will be back tomorrow to preview the matchup with Dallas. We are going to get into a bit of a philosophy question on how the Commanders should handle the matchup with the Dallas Cowboys in a matter of moments. But Linnell, what we're seeing across the league right now, or really across the NFC, I think people are taking notice of Washington. I think a former head coach, or a current head coach that was a former offensive coordinator here, is taking notice. The Rams do not want to play the Commanders.
Respect, hashtag.
They are resting everybody this weekend. Matt Stafford not playing against Seattle.
You think that has anything to do with them being like an older team? Like Puka's always hurt. Cup's always hurt. Stafford's always hurt.
I'm sure that plays a factor, but I think they're ducking for real.
And I'm always down to... I'm always down to be ducked. But I'm okay with that. You know, like I'm glad that we've earned that respect. I don't know if it's them ducking us. I wonder how much of they need to just get back in the lab and maybe they're.
Well, I've learned that sometimes just taking weeks off is not great.
It's not. The Chiefs are going to have a crazy amount of time off.
The Chiefs are going to have a long, long time off. They're going to get potentially some odd weeks.
So when you think about the way the Rams' offense is kind of functioning, I've been crafting up a conspiracy theory to counter what you said.
Should I get my tinfoil hat on?
Maybe you should. Maybe you should. Because I look at the Rams' offense over the last 3 weeks. They haven't cracked 20 points. Maybe they got to get in the lab and get the old linemen healthy so they can fire off the football better come postseason time. But to say that they're ducking us, I don't know. Because I think that is of the potential matchups, that's the one I would say is
that's the one where if you're taking this from a broad perspective and you're saying we could either play the loser of the Vikings and Lions or the Commanders or potentially the Packers, depending if things go really poorly this weekend for Washington. Deciding to rest everybody is essentially saying, especially because Geno Smith has the opportunity with incentives this weekend to make an extra $4 million.
Damn.
So I'm going to go ahead and say that Geno Smith is going to play really well this weekend. Yeah. He got about 4 million reasons to do so. So you're effectively saying we would rather lose this game and take on the loser of the Lions and Vikings, who, in fairness to the Rams, they have played both of those teams already. They lost to the Lions at week 1, 26-20, but that defense looks significantly different. And they're one of the few teams that has beaten the Minnesota Vikings. They did it 30-20. But they're saying we would rather play them than play potentially the Commanders or the Green Bay Packers. And that, to me, feels like...
Because Sam Darnold's a joke.
Tapping out.
Not a joke, but we know he's... The other shoe drops for him in the playoffs.
But what if it's not him? What if it's Jared Goff and this Lions team who offensively are firing at all cylinders? You can go, like, the Rams are one of the few teams that if they are playing correctly can go score for score with the best of them. They yes. did it with Buffalo. It's almost very baseball in the way that their season has ended. When you see a team score a bazillion runs in a baseball game, it's usually smart the next day to bet the under because it's going to kind of correct itself. Well, yeah. you score 44 points in one game, and then you score 12, 19, and 13 in the next game. That is just a little over 44 points.
So that was kind of my argument for it, though, is like maybe they need to go back into the bunker, go back to the whiteboard, and try to correct what's going on offensively. While the points don't look crazy, Kyron Williams has been running roughshod in these games. I think he's gone over like a buck 20 in all three of those games.
And the defense has been running roughshod. Now, granted, they haven't played the best offenses. Mm-hmm. You played a broken San Francisco team.
Good way to describe them.
An even more broken New York Jets team.
Yeah.
And the Kyler Cliff. People wrongfully associated the Cliff with Cliff Kingsbury. In reality, if you're looking at it just from the NFL, it's that Kyler Murray did not grow as the season progressed, and he is still 5'9".
I was about to say, as soon as you said the word grow, as soon as you said grow, I immediately started to think of mean short jokes. Random aside on Kyler, did you see the potential of like him being moved by Arizona? Wouldn't that be crazy?
I wouldn't keep him. He does this every...
Where he falls off a cliff in the
every
second
year. It is the Kyler Cliff. It was never the Cliff. Because if you looked back to college, they were putting up a ton of offense in college.
Yeah.
It's just in college, in the first portion of the season, you're playing non-conference teams.
Yeah.
When you play better teams in the Big 12, the production dips a little bit. But Kyler Murray, his biggest Achilles heel is that his Achilles heel and the rest of his lower body is short. All of his body is short.
You know what's not short? His attention span while playing Call of Duty.
His attention span while doing film is apparently short, though.
Yes. Yeah, yes, it is. Bottom line, though, in terms of like what the plan should be for this weekend for Washington, I like the mentality of going out and trying to keep the 6-seed because it presents you the more favorable matchup. I think that's the driving force behind guys playing this weekend. I know Terry's got the chance to become, you know, the all-time single-season touchdown leader. So there's that. Then Zach Ertz may have some more incentives, but I thought he collected all of that.
Yeah, I mean, he made $750,000 last week.
So I think he's clean and has collected that. But this is where I worry. I don't want anyone to get hurt, dude. But, like, I guess you can't – I'm sounding like Chris Russell. You can't play the game with that mentality. So you got to play your guys. And I think this is the type of football team – that, like, momentum is a real thing for them. And I think there are a couple of issues that they need to shore up before postseason time and get some confidence in some certain areas. One of them, to me, is the traditional running game. Go punch Dallas in the mouth and run the football. Like, that will make me feel good about the postseason. And then defensively, I don't know if you want to show new looks to stop the run, but, like, I would love to see you go shut down the run. I don't think they got to play the whole game, Denton. You can pull them after the first half if you feel like you're blowing them out or whatever. I do like that they are suiting up, though. It concerns me, though. It's like a double-edged sword with me.
My plan is to win at all costs. If your options are win at all costs or scoreboard watch, the plan should be to win at all costs. And the reason is this. On extended periods off, they have not been exceptional in the return. They had that 10-day layover, the short mini-bye, if you will, from Philadelphia on Thursday night where the offense was not very good to that Dallas game where the offense started not very good. They got better in the second half, which is why they nearly won the game, although there was some craziness, obviously, as we all remember. But the extended time off seemed like it hurt. And then you play really well against Tennessee, get extended time off with a bye week, and you play against New Orleans and nearly blow the game.
Yeah.
So in extended periods off, they don't seem to come back executing very, very well. Now, if you get to a point where we'll snowball here because I made the mistake of thinking they were going to blow out Dallas earlier in the season.
They both made that mistake. Yeah.
But if you get to a point where it's 28-6 as you enter the fourth quarter, at that point, I'd feel comfortable pulling some guys, saying, all right, this game is effectively over. Dallas is not going to go crazy. If they've only scored 6 points, it means the defense is doing something very, very well. We're going to pull the offense. We're going to pull Jaden because Marcus Mariota has showed that he can still lead good drives. He did it against Carolina, not a great team, but he did it against Carolina. At the very least, he can lead one or two drives that last 4 or 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, right? So I don't mind pulling if you're up big in the final frame, but I want you to be up big in the final frame. Close this one, get win number 12, and secure your spot as the sixth seed rather than the seventh seed.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fair. Hashtag win at all costs. There's that concern that exists with me. But I'm going to have to get over it because they're playing. I just think if they are going to play, back to what I said, you know, a moment ago, Try and get back on track some of the bread and butter facets of your football team that got you to 7-2, that ultimately is going to get you to 12-5. They'll be. It's kind of my thing. I look at the traditional run game. I look at finding different ways to stop the run. Now that gets tricky because you don't want to compromise some your integrity defensively, so to speak, in terms of like anything new you're going to do for the postseason. I fully expect like a brand new playbook for the playoffs. I fully expect like new defensive schemes. We've got those type of coaches that make in-game adjustments. So,
which is new.
Yeah. So, and there's some like wrinkles in plays that we've seen this year where they haven't. Like the end around thing to Jaden where B-Rob was supposed to flip it back and he didn't.
Yeah.
He's flipping it back in the wild card.
Right. I do think in the wild card we're going to see the play that they have tried twice with two different guys and not executed on, which is some sort of hand around or quick lateral to, it was Luke one play, it was Diami another play, where they then send Jaden out and have everyone in the world down the field blocking for him with the intention of throwing it back and then having him go to the house.
Like a kickoff return, basically.
It's been open twice. For whatever reason, they just have not thrown it twice. Luke didn't want to throw it. Diami didn't want to throw it. My guess is that in the wild card round, you see that again. My fear is that he breaks it out against Dallas. Like the Lions did that hook and ladder on Monday Night Football.
Because they're arrogant, obnoxious.
And I was like, why would you guys not save that play? Maybe they're still going to run it against Minnesota. But I was like, why would you not save that for Minnesota in the game that's going to clinch you a division and potentially a bye?
So let me say this, though. They may not run against Minnesota once, but now that they've shown it on tape, Minnesota's got to prep for it. It's in their mind.
They do.
So,
but I also think they're now setting up for a fake hook and ladder.
Which would be something, because if you get the defense to
freeze, if you get the defense to fall for a fake hook and ladder 15 yards down the field,
it helps if they got J-Mo.
It does help if you get J-Mo.
Yeah, he's fast as hell, so makes that work. But I don't know, man. I'm happy we're in the spot. I don't know. I think I want Tampa. Like the more and more I think about it, I think I want Tampa.
I definitely want Tampa. I've convinced you. There's too many storylines there. Like think of how deep you can get into the storyline well. At the top of the iceberg is it's a team that you played this season. Yeah. It was a team that played Jaden at the very beginning when Jaden was not what he is now. He was very much in that first game in tuck and run mode. So you get an opportunity at redemption. The only, I guess we'll see with Dallas, but they played two teams twice. They didn't need redemption against the Giants because the Giants suck.
Yeah, but he was even much better in that second game.
The second game against the Giants was one of his best games up until that Philadelphia game.
Right.
Speaking of that Philadelphia game, he saw a team a second time. He played much better against them.
Right.
So there's that storyline. You can add the cherry on top of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tweeting the picture out last week once Washington beat Atlanta, thanking them with Baker hugging Jaden.
Uh-huh.
How hilarious would it be if they thanked Washington to then get eliminated by Washington? Something. So that's the tip of the iceberg. You go a layer down to where you're a little bit submerged underwater with the iceberg. You ready for the hive? The Heinicke hive. The last time Washington in the playoffs, we had the legend, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, of Taylor Heinicke being born. Maybe that did a little bit more of a disservice to some of us than it did to others.
I am others.
But you had the Heinicke hive that got you all riled up.
Yeah.
In that game. And that was a great playoff game. It was arguably the best playoff game in the NFC for that entire run because Tampa Bay destroyed everybody else. You could go deeper into.
And that's where I know where you're going.
The iceberg.
That gets me going.
The last time Washington won a playoff game, it was in Tampa Bay against a Chris Sims-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was the game with Sean Taylor. He did get ejected. Marcus Washington had a great game. That got them to go play Seattle when Seattle went to the Super Bowl that year. That was one of my really, like, first seasons super-duper locked into the team. I was 10 years old, so I was super locked into the team that year. And if you want to go even crazier deeper, you could go, like, to the Todd Bowles stuff. Because Todd Bowles was a Dan Snyder selection for head coach, and then he said, I'm not working for Dan Snyder, smart guy. Decides to go work for Tampa Bay instead, but you still have a lot of people in this fan base, Kevin included, that really have a lot of respect for Todd Bowles because they view him as a member of this organization's history.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of storylines there. Now, you can go storylines with whoever they play, but I think that iceberg for Tampa goes deep, and it's really the one that gets you going is the one that gets me going. The opportunity to beat them after they were the last time to kind of close that book on the playoff woes and step into this new future as a franchise of not going 20 years between playoff victories.
And the graphic needs to be updated, by the way. Like, the last time a team's won 11 games, last time a team's made the playoffs. We've won 11 games, then we're in the playoffs. Tired of seeing us at the bottom of that graphic. But to your point, like, the storylines write themselves. And then from a football standpoint, I think they are the better matchup. Because I think this is what it comes down to. We all know Washington's major Achilles heel they've had this year. It's been stopping the run. And I think we know how they're going to try and stop the run. It is by stacking the box, in turn compromising your defensive backs. Hopefully Marshon Lattimore is ready and available for the postseason. But in terms of if you're going to go play man-to-man coverage, would you rather play man-to-man coverage against Puka and Kupp or Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan? And I'd say the McMillan and Evans are the more favorable matchup. So, and
especially,
it'd be Marshon Lattimore. Oh,
especially
God,
if Marshon Lattimore is healthy.
Another storyline.
That's at the top of the iceberg.
Yeah.
The rekindling of one of the great NFC South rivalries with Mike Evans and Marshon Lattimore that weren't quite as nasty as Josh Norman and Odell Beckham. Remember when Beckham, like, torpedoed Josh Norman when he was in Carolina?
I loved that.
But they're really close. Like, if you go, but you can find compilations on YouTube, on Twitter, wherever, of Marshon Lattimore and Mike Evans beefing. And it is beef.
It's one of the few, like, personal battles that exists right now in the league. And maybe one of the only ones. Like,
yeah, I can't think
every time they play.
I cannot think of another personal battle.
And Marshawn's gotten the better of him at times, and he's gotten the better of Marshon. I actually think, based on what Mike Evans does against everyone else, I think Marshawn's winning the battle, like, overall, you know? But, by the way, Jaden Daniels, 20th in the NFL in rushing yards. I don't know why I just randomly said that, but I was like,
well, I'm glad you did randomly say that, because we're going to get to my news here in a second. But the 33rd team just tweeted something out. And are you familiar, do you listen to at all or ever the New Heights podcast with Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
So you're familiar with what a LeBron stat is?
Yes.
So a LeBron stat, for those who are not familiar, is a statistic that it feels like is made up because it's so in-depth, because LeBron is breaking. Like, LeBron is the first player in NBA history to have 28 points on every February 22nd for six straight years. It's like these random stats that don't really make a lot of sense, but they do make a lot of sense. Jaden Daniels is pioneering the LeBron stats in the NFL. He set like four new ones this weekend against Atlanta. He had set another one against Philadelphia. And the 33rd team just tweeted yet another LeBron, now Jaden, stat. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to have 8 touchdown passes and 200-plus rushing yards in a two-game span.
Yeah.
The guy is just continuing to come with more and more accolades that are causing PR. I mean, really, I feel for the Elias Sports Bureau and the Commanders PR, because this dude is making them work overtime every single week. They're just finding new things and new records that he is breaking. And his records, like, I had no idea that was even something that people cared about. But here we are.
It's been fun to witness, because normally this would be like a radio topic that we were hating on the stat because it's a LeBron stat. But we could relish it, man. It's our guy. He's a life-changing. He's like, if I was like to write down the most influential people in my life right now, Jaden Daniels would be one of them.
He's on the list.
He's on the list.
He's certainly on the list. All right, when we get back, it's time for Denton's Daily News, including something that is about the Commanders. Linnell, I lied to you about 45 minutes ago. We might have a few not-so-positive stories about the Commanders. That's the focus of my news when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton A. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.